Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, May 10th. A little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, I want to talk. Today's going to be open line Friday. That means you are free to call in and talk about what is trending in the news and, of course, what is trending on social media. And I'll be happy to give commentary on what you have to say. But what I want to concentrate on today is about what we should be doing as men and women, what we should be doing as Bohemian, what we should be doing as trailblazers, right? Recently, let me see if I get up my Facebook page up. Recently, the Bahamas, I guess it was a press statement by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. They gave a press statement dated May 7th, and I think I have most of it. I think it cut off a little bit, but I'll read the majority of it because it's cut off, right? It's a press statement about Palestine. It says, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs wishes to advise the public that the Cabinet of the Bahamas has decided to formally recognize Palestine as a state. The government of the Bahamas believes that recognition of the state of Palestine strongly demonstrates the Bahamas' commitment to the principles espoused in the Charter of the United Nations and to the right of self-determination of peoples as articulated in the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, ICCPR, and of the International Covenant of Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, which is ICESCR. The Bahamas became an independent nation in 1973 as an act of self-determination. Therefore, the Bahamas supports the legal right of the Palestinian people of self-determination to freely determine their political status and freely pursue their economic, social, and cultural development. Common Article 1 of the ICCPR and ICESCR. And this is where it cut off, right? So the Bahamas has in the past endorsed the two-state solution as clearly articulated in the United Nations Security Council Resolution 242-1967 on a peaceful and accepted settlement of the Middle East situation. And it continues, right? I have a clip, and I was reminded about this. First of all, I want to commend the Bahamas government, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, to putting their money where their mouth is, right? It's a group thing. It's the entire Caribbean decided to forge as one, to come together to make a bold statement that despite its dependency on the United States, despite having as trading partners Israel and their connection, that they are committed to supporting Palestine as an independent state. That's a bold move, a bold commitment. I assume it sends shockwaves, right? Even though, no matter how small it is, that it sends shockwaves that Caribbean nations, states, have decided to say as one voice to come and say, what's happening in that Palestine, despite we being allies and we support Israel? It ain't good. It ain't good. And that, therefore, we believe that Palestine need to be an independent state and be respected. And that what I want to talk about. I want to talk about us being trailblazers in the Caribbean, the Bahamas being trailblazers in the world. we as individuals being trailblazers in the Bahamas, right? To stand up, to speak out regarding injustices, right? To see something that is not right and just say, no, what you are doing is wrong. I have a clip there. Producer, get my clip ready? Okay, get ready to play that. That reminded me that I, for one, need to be doing more. Therefore, if I need to be doing more, you, the Bahamian listening audience, need to be doing more. We tend to sit quietly and watch things happen. Sit quietly and let things happen. Bad behavior, right? And we need to stand up and say, this is just, this is right. This is where we should be headed. Today, May 10th, is the day that the Bahamas was attacked some years ago, right? Defense Force officers were on the sea doing a routine patrolling, and they stopped some poachers, right? The poachers happened to call their state, their military, and without any provocation, we were attacked, bombed. Several defense officers died that day. And then moments after that, hours after that, airplanes owned our space as they look to destroy, annihilate, kill Bahamian souls, right? We must stand up and defend ourselves. And to remember that there were people before us who paid the ultimate price. And we should be willing to pay the ultimate price to have a better Bahamas. But I have this clip I want to play. Producer, you can play that now. Just so to remind us that we need to be doing more. Go ahead, producer.
For those of you that have been speaking out, continue to do so. You may feel helpless, but I can tell you that your voice matters. It does make a difference. The network effect of your intentionality and your intentionality and empathy matters. It reaches people. It makes a difference. Continue to speak out. To those of you that have a bigger platform, many people that I know personally and beyond, it really is time to use your social equity, your social influence. And if you're worried about your brand or getting cancelled, focus on the children. That's a sword we should all be willing to die on. Begging for the closest thing that I know to the celestial in all creation to be protected, and that is our children. Of course, we want a lasting ceasefire and humanitarian aid in. It is the best chance for the Israeli hostages to be released and also for them to have some kind of safety whilst being held hostage. And I hope they are all returned to their families and loved ones. There are 78,000 infants in Rafah now. The cultural capital of celebrity culture and influential voices, it's now. This is the tipping point. This is the precipice. It's now you use your voice. Goodwill and UNICEF alone, some of the most famous people in the world are UNICEF Goodwill ambassadors. Priyanka Chopra, David Beckham, Millie Bobby Brown, Leo Messi. I don't even know how many followers they have. But I'm not here to judge your silence. I'm here to beg for your voice. The Taylor Swifts, Beyoncés, Obamas, is now. Now's the time to talk. Above and beyond the entrenched islands of rage that we've all seen on social media and on multiple news cycles in the last 6 months, the one thing where there should be absolute clarity is in the protection of children. They are the innocent party in all of this. and we can either watch the destruction of their lives, with many of them taking their first breath only to take their last, or we can refuse to look away. They do not have a voice, so let us be their voice. Thank you.
I have a small platform, right? And I realize, or I'm appreciating that I need to use the platform, my social influence, just to do more, just to influence people, influence the Bahamas to want more, to do better, right? We are bulldozing shanty towns. I applaud that, right? But I have no clue what the government is doing with the people's children. No clue if the government is providing housing. No clue if the people who houses were bulldozed have some place to go, right? Any type of refuge. And I debate on whether I care or not. Say, well, they immigrants, right? Then I found out that they're not necessarily immigrants. They have status in the Bahamas, right? They have right to be here in some degree. And I'm thinking, I sit here and said nothing, even though I applaud because the shanty town's gotta go. But I sit here and was not concerned on whether these children have some place to go. Like, school's the next day. Do they go without a uniform? Do they go without food? Is anyone caring about their mental health? Should I be concerned about their mental health? Should I be speaking or asking the government questions? Say, hey, you're doing a good job now. However, have you put steps in place to make sure the employers have found a place for these people to live? Or are you going to say, hey, if you're going to bulldoze the house, make sure the officers or the necessary persons are there to collect and deport them so they don't have to be here living in a no-space zone, right? Do I have a duty of care to make sure that happens? So that's what I want to speak about. Aaron is finally back. Like I said, it's open line Friday. I just want to charge the Bahamian people to speak out. When injustices is happening in front of you, despite your biasness, because I am biased, right? I understand there can't be any shanty towns here. I understand that we have an immigration problem, right? I understand that. But if you bulldoze in people houses, you need to have some kind of system. You can't just say, oh, well, they shouldn't be in here in the first place. So if they live, they live. If they die, they die. So be it. I know if Jesus wouldn't accept that. But anyway, number today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, you're calling from the Family Island, 242-300-5720. Aaron Green is joining me here today. And Aaron, I know you are a advocate. Your whole life has been this. Because of your circumstances or your how you live and whatever it is, you stand up. You speak out. You take charge. You say the unpopular things, right? You risk yourself. You have been the victim of being risking yourself, right? This is what you are, who you are, right? And there are times I forget. I forget that I'm supposed to speak out. I'm supposed to be involved, put my shoulder to the wheel when injustice is happening. And I want to know, how come you are able to always put your shoulders to the wheel and risk yourself when you see injustice? Because I don't have to worry, but I got to eat too.
And then, of course, for people who have children, right, the considerations are always different, and the expectations of performance and engagement are different. The same thing with the Palestine conversation, you know, why people aren't speaking up, because people have lots to risk, and the risk isn't only theirs to carry, right? Like, when you speak, what you say impacts not just you and your capacity, ability to be in the world, but it impacts your family, those closest to you, right? That's why we now have new language in the space of governance called politically exposed people, and why it's important to identify these people, right? But for me, I just grew up in a culture of voluntarism, right? There's a quote, I think it's either Audre Lorde or bell hooks. It may be, I don't know if it's Maya, maybe Davis. Activism and advocacy is the rent that we pay to be in the world, right? Like that's the rent that you pay, and it's just what you do. But in many instances, people like myself, we inspired through a personal connection, right? Our actions are not, they may be altruistic, but they can also be rooted, and most times are rooted in something that we're dealing with. And then you realize that by solving my personal problem, I could solve the problem of many others, because many others are experiencing the same things that I am experiencing. But it becomes difficult, you know, you're talking about Palestine, and if we're talking about the people that do have a platform, that do have a capacity to talk, but they're concerned about losing that platform, listen, somebody threatened to victimize me a month ago because I said to them, hey, you know, if you stand on the line correctly, then people will stop jumping the rest of us who are on the line correctly. The person found me as I was leaving the store to tell me what they're going to do to me the next time I see them in uniform. That's just for talking about standing on the line properly, right? And so you understand why people are hesitant. But I come from strong people. I saw Hasty Tynes and I was Boyd Mitchell Gay. I mean, it's in me for real. It's a genetics. It's a part of the legacy that I carry. I come from people who agitate, who machinate, and who knew and know how to do what you ought to do when you ought to do it. And that's not just blood relatives, right? Like my family who brought me to the Methodist Summer Youth Program. That's what they taught us as camp counselors. You have to know how to do what you ought to do when you ought to do it. That's your duty as a counselor. You have care over people. And, you know, I think people who have grown up with those principles, they engaged in the same culture of advocacy, even if they are not formal professional advocates like myself.
I was told or reminded I was supposed to say who was speaking, and I got it off of Instagram, and you know I'm not an Instagram, I'm a Facebook person,
right?
So I'm not sure how to manipulate Instagram. But I got it from a reel from Annie Lennox, but she's not the person who's speaking.
Right, she shared it,
yes, video. But it's Annie Lennox who I got it from. But I was so moved by what was said. I said, I need to play this. Mm-hmm. I need the Bohemian people at large to hear it, to hopefully spark us into action.
And to take this out of the political realm, right? If we continue to frame it as Israel versus Hamas, right? And we ignore the fact that the children die. And from my notes yesterday that I read, we're talking about thousands, right? If I could read again from the Caribbean Feminist Statement Against Israel's Settler Colonial Project and Ongoing Genocide in Palestine. And it says, we rebuke the violence enacted against them, including bombardment, starvation, sexual violence, ethnic cleansing, and the intentional destruction of educational, cultural, healthcare, political, and religious institutions. More than 35,000 Palestinian people have been killed since October 7, 2023. Most of them are women and children. More than 80,000 Palestinian people have been injured, and we can presume most of them are women and children. Over 8,000 Palestinian people are missing. Almost 2 million Palestinians are currently displaced in Gaza, and 1.1 million are facing catastrophic food security, right? Like, don't focus on the politics of Israel versus Hamas or Israel versus Palestine. Focus on the real lives, the real people, the people and
people
what they're experiencing.
I know I have a number of people on hold, and forgive me for that. So if you call now, I'll be able to accept your calls. But I see I have someone here now. A producer patched that for me, Arlington. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but can you speak louder for me, please?
All right. I like your premise. I started out saying that Aaron is an amazing behemoth. in my opinion, as she stated clearly just now, there's a lot of victimization in this country, and a lot of behemoths are afraid to stand on their two legs and actually advise or say what they really think and what's going on in the country. And I really want to applaud Aaron for continuing every day to lead the Bahamian people and to let us know the beliefs and how you feel on certain situations, which you're most likely, almost certainly right now, all your your conversations at which side you drop on. But I really appreciate your commentary, and you are an excellent Bahamian. I look forward to hearing from you more in the future, and hopefully you can start some type of organization with similar minded Bahamians who are a little neglected and afraid to come forward, mm-hmm. due to the victimization that always happens in the Bahamas. But hopefully we can get past that, start an organization and try and get this Bahamas back on track from the A.D. Hannas and the Milo Butlers, what they envisioned our Bahamas was supposed to be like for the Bahamian people. Also, in reference to the Haitian situation, yeah, everybody wanted the shanty towns destroyed or whatever, but it has to be some type of plan, because, like you said, where are these children? Where are the people actually going? You understand? Where are they? What's happening with them? Are they being sent back? Are they being naturalized? Are they being processed? What's going on? And the government has to be more transparent in everything they do, and that's my 5 cents on the whole situation.
I appreciate that, caller.
No problem.
And Aaron, Bahamians are quiet. And the reason I think we're quiet is because we're so vexed at the immigration situation, right? Mm-hmm. That we are prepared to ignore that we have a management situation. We are unable to manage the problems that we are having here. We mm-hmm. seem to be overwhelmed, mm-hmm. right? Our leaders are unable to manage our society, our economy properly. So we are prepared, or since we acknowledge that, we are prepared to allow them to take advantage of people and things, right? Mm-hmm. How is it that a shanty town with scores of people, not just people, some of them are Bahamians with status, and when I say Bahamians, Bahamian citizens with status, mm-hmm. and then some of them are just people with status, right, who have several different rights, right? Mm-hmm. And as we applaud, because I do applaud the bulldozing, I applaud. I say, finally, somebody is doing something. Mm-hmm. But there's no narrative. No narrative from none of the churches. No narrative from social services. No narrative from the food network. No narrative from no embassy. No narrative from any kind of charity and organization who will say that we are on the ground doing something. I have no clue mm-hmm. what is happening at all. And this is the Bahamas. We civilized. I mean, this is not like United States were not as civilized as us. Because I think we in the Bahamas are more civilized because we care about people. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we have lost our civility.
Right. There's a regional migration crisis, right? And let's say it's centered in Haiti. There's a regional migration crisis that exists beyond the Bahamas. There's an immigration crisis in the Bahamas, but that immigration crisis exists because of an administrative crisis that is unable to manage its part in a regional migration crisis, right? There's a housing crisis. So like you say, there needs to be people on the ground. People want to know reasonably, now that these unregulated structures have been demolished, where will these people be housed in the midst of a housing crisis?
Do our government have a duty of care?
Of course they have a duty of care.
So why aren't they showing that?
I don't think they have the capacity to show the duty of care in this particular issue. They have not created the mechanisms necessary to be able to perform and show that duty of care.
We have scores of NGOs here in the Bahamas, Aaron.
We do have scores of NGOs.
You heard of any NGO on the ground, Aaron?
NGO is a broad-based term, right?
I understand.
Within NGO, you have faith-based organizations, You have community-based organizations. You have women's rights organizations, right? Different types of organizations. Even though we have scores of NGOs, we don't have scores of NGOs doing this type of work. We have very few NGOs doing this type of work. We have very few NGOs with the capacity to organize the resources they have and the resources that are available to provide programming and services. Post-Dorian, Equality Bahamas was able to partner with Lend a Hand Bahamas to run a distribution center, resource distribution center at NAGB. It took a lot of work and a lot of coordination. Lend a Hand Bahamas is an established organization that is doing this. That's a community-based organization, right? And because of what they were doing prior to the storm, they were able to transition their programming and resources to cover this gap along with Equality Bahamas. There are very few organizations that are doing actual policy work. Like, they're sitting down, they're interrogating existing policy, they're creating policy drafts and improvements, they're critically assessing programming and figuring out, does the law need to change? What resources are needed to marry the two, what the government wants to do and what people need? There are a handful of those.
That's a lot of talking, Aaron. Long and short, nobody's on the ground. Don't know. Let's go to these callers, Aaron. And we should be incensed, concerned, like passionately saying, man, something is wrong. Let's tarry a bit, right? Because so the Bahamas, we're not ordinary. Like I said, we are a special group of people, chosen group of people, right?
I thought you was going to say because of our archipelagic exterior.
No, just who we are, right? Yeah. We don't let these things happen, but we're letting these things happen. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
I would appreciate it if I can give you a few of thoughts that I have on your conversation today.
Yes, ma'am.
You say, sit and be quiet or sit and speak out. I was quite shocked, but should not have been, when I heard the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs say that we were the last part of the Caribbean that was voting for Palestine to be another state within the state of Israel. And I was also shocked that you brought in the difference and the similarity that we now have in our country with people coming in and taking over our country. The world has gotten its game through war, power, and money. We inherited the Bahamas. We inherited the Bahamian people, inherited the Bahamas from a king, which, you know, the monarchy had taken it over anyway through colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
So they got it through power and money and war. But it is the Bahamian people's inheritance. It doesn't belong to anyone else. It doesn't belong to the government. They are custodians of our land. Now, Palestine is a country within a country, just like the shanty towns are a country within our country, keeping none of our laws, breaking every law, getting money, building, and no one's doing anything about this country within our country. And they're doing it without a war. But Palestine is in another country. They are not Israelis. I don't care if they were born there. I don't care how many foreigners are born in the Bahamas. They are not the inheritors of our land. We, the organic Bahamians, was given it by a king. Now, Palestine is in Israel. They don't belong there. They're not ethnically Israelis. They are against the God of Israel, whether we believe in him or not. And it's the order from the God that we believe in the Bahamas, gave it to Israel as an eternal inheritance. So nobody can go there and say, I am born here, so I belong here. No. But if someone chooses to abide with them, then they can settle down, become Israeli, and fine. But don't confuse what God has given Israel to what the king gave to us. But we need to save our country because it has been taken over. It will be ruled by Haitian descent. And the prime minister himself said, I am one of you. So we don't have anybody out there fighting for us, but our land is an inheritance that cannot be just given away. And I do say, if you fight against the God that I believe in, you will be punished. And if
okay.
you continue
Thank you.
To let another country come here, which is what has happened, we will lose our country. In fact, I think
it's already happened. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. I
don't know what to say, Ariel.
I am stunned. This is what I'm going to say. I appreciate your call, ma'am. I appreciate your passion. I appreciate the time you've taken to put together your thoughts. It's unfortunate that your reading of history is
different. Incorrect.
I mean, you could call it different. I'm going to call it incorrect. When you say that Palestine is a country in a country, I feel the need to remind the listening audience that parts of the Palestinian area were granted to Israel. Like they had a war. They gone to war with the support of everybody else. If you go in there and we take in some of this land, and then eventually everybody's like, okay, they could have a little bit of the land. We cool with that. They could have a little bit of the land. And over the last several decades, what Israel has done is they have annexed. A lot of people like to use the word illegally in front of it. They've illegally annexed land that is Palestine. So the idea that you would say that Palestine is a country, it wants to be a country within another country, I think you're actually talking about Israel. Like if you flip it, you'll realize that the truth is that Israel is a country inside of another country. Like everything you said is correct. You just need to replace the words Israel with Palestine and the word Palestine with Israel in the rest of that reading of history. I also think it's important that we do not promulgate this idea that we have a right or a duty to be violent towards other people in the name of our gods. I'm going to need to see a memo from your God. In fact, with all the technologies available, I'm going to need a FaceTime with your God for him to tell me that, yes, he has authorized you to be violent towards other people. And he's also authorized you to encourage me to join your campaign. It's 2024, right? And with your understanding of colonialism, I find it odd that you don't include in your critique an accurate reading of Haiti's history and what's driven us here to this point. I just wanted to point out that what you're saying is factually incorrect. But I didn't want to cut you.
I'm just still shocked about the king part. The colonizer king part who invade people's country and take it over and enslave people and that we inherited from the Munster. Can we get inherited from Munsters? Let's go to the callers them again, please.
And the text line's lit up.
Yeah, we can read the text right now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? You can call again at 323-6232 and 325-4316 and 325-4259. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, this is a very interesting conversation. I'd like to thank Ms. Queen. I love what the lady was saying, but when it's related to Palestine, it's more complex than that. And so Aaron is correct. And so it really means the land of the Palestinians. And so they were there first, the Canaanites, and all of these people are miscegenated. So the demographics of that area is much more complex than people would conceive.
Mm-hmm.
So the miscegenated Ashkenazis and people from the north coming in and saying that they're Jews, but notice they use the word Jewish. So I can't accept history because it's an imposition on the Palestinians. But when I delve into this story just a little bit, I found out that some of the land the Israelis really bought. The Jewish people who call themselves, I don't call them Jews because, you know, Jews are black. They hide the history of the black Jews. But what she was touching on was something that I've been talking about for years on the radio, and I was saying parallel society. I like to find phrases that make my speech shorter.
Mm-hmm.
What is a parallel society is exactly what she was saying. You understand, Ms. Green?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Now, why can't we juxtapose this with national security? This is why I said, for me, in my consciousness, national security is just nominal. It don't exist. I just really don't get what national security has failed to be even people them when I listen to this lady speak. So mm-hmm. I have to give her credence for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we look at, she talk about war and power and all that, there's a book written by one of the most decorated generals in American history. His name is Smedley Butler. You need to read the book or just Google the name. And he gave a speech when he talked about the secret agenda to overthrow the United States government. And he also he wrote a book, I just can't remember the name of the book because I really just took a cursory look at it. And mm-hmm. it was about how they set up war to make money. The Iron Mountain Report also discussed all of these things that we experienced today. But of course, I'm a conspiracy theorist because most people, they went to school and they don't read. But, you know, you're just sharing knowledge, but people don't even know the truth when they hear it. That's the frightening part about living on the plantation. Even as you speak, people will critique you in ignorance, but that's okay. But you have to be importunate in your agenda. You see what I'm saying, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
In order for people to get what you're saying. Now, we see that our leaders have taken on the contemptuous attitude of the kings and queens. But you would remember the Magna Carta, right, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you read the Magna Carta, in which they sacked the palace because of the arrogance of King John, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he didn't realize that the laws he implemented, he had to be subjected to. So no one is allowing, even with the migrants, that's the part what really creates the parallel society. But we see the political prostitution of the ruling class in order for them to stay in power. But Asians should be integrated. But I urge them to integrate with the Bahamian people. But we still need to deport and control the number of Asians. I don't know why people can't fathom to their big, big brains that Haiti has a population of 11 million people, just maybe more in Cuba, 0.4, 0.3 million, or maybe about the same. I don't know. It's close.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we playing around with our sovereignty and not juxtaposing this with national security? Can someone explain that to my pea little brains, please? Because I can't see why is it that the government would be selling us out just to please a certain demographics. And you see the audacity. We saw the chronology of audacity with the burning of the flag, all of the narratives on the internet from Abaco, all of the clamoring that narrative. We still playing the fool. Come on, man. Give us a break. Who are we? You looking for a better life but making our own worse? Come on, man. We don't love ourselves. That's what I'm saying. So why are we afraid to stand up for our rights? It's cheaper Bob Marley didn't sing the song. Because, like I always say,
I tell you why 52.
An intellectual, because I'm kind of dumb.
Let me tell you why.
What is an intellectual? Because I don't know.
But listen, I'm going to have a conversation next week on the role of public intellectuals in society, but people are not doing anything because people need systems to plug into.
Yeah, but Aaron,
hold on. Let me just say this, right? That people with all the passion, with all the resources, with all the knowledge, they still need to be a part of an organized movement. And so people see the problem, they know that we need action, but then they become stuck because they don't know what to do next. They don't know what the most effective thing is to
do
next.
But that's a state of learned helplessness. So given the fact that I respect you and see you as being the most intriguing shows, right? Now, what I'm saying is when you do that show, I would give you examples in which non-pundits were correct and pundits were incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go through our history. I'll start from the 3rd century and I'll come straight up. And so that's our job. So when we put... See, what I'm saying is intellectual dictatorship is basically the same as scientific dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've just gotten a copy of the book that I've been reading piecemeal online, The Effects of the Science on Society, Bertrand mm-hmm. Russell, right? And so this book was written in 1950. So these guys are warning us about scientific dictatorship, which is really intellectual dictatorship, in which the intellectuals have all the say, and the plantation dweller has no brains,
mm-hmm.
and he just listens to what they say. And it's no different. You can't adopt a state of learned helplessness. That means your existence is meaningless. Give thanks.
Thank you, 52.
Thanks. Let's go to the next caller.
And then these texts.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Gern once. Call Gern twice.
Let's go straight to the text line there.
All right, just before we go to the text line, what 52 was talking about is what we're talking about, an administrative crisis, right, that cannot or will not manage the movement of migration, even when that movement is to their benefit, right? Because obviously it's to their benefit in some way, but it still can be managed. And why aren't we adopting a contract-style migration labor policy? I mean, post-Dorian, we didn't even have an immigration, we didn't even have an internal immigration a mechanism just to document the movement of people, not for the purpose of locking people up, you know, but just to understand the movement of people through the island after the storm. So here we go. This text is, okay, the fact that you are passionate about illegals committing crime says volumes. What other country can you go to build for free, take land, demand the government to take care of you, and take benefits away from the citizens that pay taxes? Do you understand what you are saying? The first war started in the Bible about land. You are supporting terrorism if you say illegals should have special privileges to break the law. Fortunately for you, Texter, and all of the caps that you used just now, nobody said that. Okay? And I just appreciate that when you continue your conversation off the radio, that you don't misconstrue what it is that you've heard on the radio, sir, ma'am, whoever it is. Because nobody here said that we support or that illegals should have special privileges to break the law. What was indicated was that the state has a duty of care even for those who are in the country undocumented or without status. They have a degree of care owed to them. Y'all hate to hear the truth. Another text. What I know about the current system is it doesn't work. Allowing more Haitian nationals to enter the country and have children on Bahamian soil naturalized as Bahamians does not work. The first thing we have to do is to invoke the clause in the Constitution that allows us to, quote, immediately, close quotes, outlaw anchor babies. Secondly, illegal immigrants should be repatriated to Haiti or a first world nation who can support them. The Bahamas cannot. Once we get a handle on that, then we can address the people in limbo here. Firstly, they do not get registered as Bahamian. They get residency. Their children are Haitian nationals with a Haitian passport. They cannot hold a work permit in excess of 8 years, so their children in the Bahamas travel back to Haiti before age of 10. They will thus become acclimated to their country, have their own IDs and status. This is what we need to do. There is no other solution. All the other Caribbean islands have more free land than us. Okay, text, I was following you until you said all other Caribbean islands have more free land than us with our archipelagic exterior. Is it that land is earmarked for foreign direct investment? Because it's not earmarked for Bahamians. I'm just wondering what's happening here.
Let me see if I can squeeze these two callers
in. Yes,
sir. But again, I seem as if we detour from the subject. Again, no one here supports shanty towns.
We don't support unregulated.
We support the government. The question here is, what happened to these people?
Mm-hmm.
What is happening to these people? Why is they so quiet?
And here's the point. Can you fix the immigration crisis without fixing the administrative crisis? It's as simple as that.
Let's go to these calls. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning to you. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
You got to pick this topic back up, man. I mean, a lot to be talked about with this. But people was asking one time ago about no one being charged for squatting. I mean, what about the individuals who are charged for collecting the rent and allowing these individuals to build on these lands? Because there's a false narrative that Haitians come here and just jump on any old land. They see squat on any old land. And now you all know that's not the case. We know that the majority of the cases, if not all the cases, are they are paying someone rent.
Right.
You know what I mean? So what about the individuals who are allowing it? So you're talking about the individuals who are squatting. What about some individuals who are facilitating it to happen? All right, let's talk about that if you want to talk about some real things. Man, let's grow up in Ms. Green.
Oh, look, and that's why we have the distinction between unregulated shanty towns and illegal shanty towns. That's why there's a distinction.
But I love up Ms. Green, how you tried to correct the lady. I know you want to say more, but she is a prime example of the ignorant that is above us, that needs to go, man. That's the kind of mindset that keeps us in the wilderness. You understand where I'm coming from, man? Because those are the individuals who feel as if they're right, and they have a right to speak, and whatever they say is correct. And they are the ones who really need to sit back and listen to what's going on, because, I mean, she's really misinformed, right? But Haiti was like a Palestine one time ago, because Haiti, no one around wanted to recognize Haiti as being a state. You know what I mean? No one wanted to recognize Haiti until Haiti paid France back paid France some money for freeing themselves. I mean, we really need to teach this history from the right perspective so we as black people could appreciate Haiti and who Haiti is, because we are all African people. You understand? We need to really understand what's going on. And I mean, people talk about Bahamas. We as black people, we black Bahamians, because when we talk about Bahamians, we have white Bahamians, we have Chinese Bahamians, we have all kinds of Bahamians. But when you say Bahamians, black Bahamians don't own this place, people. You're all around here running around and fighting over scraps. We don't run this country. We have no influence of the day-to-day running of this country. We don't do nothing. But like I say, CA, you really need to take this topic up again, because there's so much to be said. But for one thing, this shows how much we in the Bahamas really dislike our Haitian brothers and sisters, our own black skin, our own African people, because we have no love or no concern, like how CA was talking about, for what even happened to the children inside that place. We're supposed to be loving and respecting Haiti. Before we became an independent nation, before majority rule, the white people here used to deport Haitians. And after majority rule, I understand that what we did as black people is we intensified it, we increased it, I guess, to show the master that we willing to like fight for really black rights. So we as black people continuing to do what the white man used to do to our black brothers and sisters. We need to wake up. We as one people, we as African people, yeah? Y'all better respect Haiti, because Haiti deserves respect for what they did in becoming the only nation to be formed out of a slave revolt. But there's much more to say. CA, you need to take this topic up again and Aaron again. I appreciate you correcting the lady. Yeah? Y'all have a nice day.
Thank you.
Let's see if I can squeeze this last caller in, Aaron.
Yeah, man.
Producer Patrick, go ahead, caller. Producer, put him just forward. Go ahead again. Oh, you hang up? Sorry about that.
So just a quick point before you end the show. A lot of people automatically, when they hear this discussion about Palestine and Israel, right? It's a loaded phrase. It's Israel, Israel. Did you know that on October 6th, 2023, the day before the Hamas attack, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis in the streets of Israel protesting Netanyahu's government? Hundreds of thousands of Israelis were in the streets protesting Netanyahu's governance, his coalition government, right? And so I don't talk about Israeli versus Hamas. The Israeli people have a right to defend themselves. They were trying to defend themselves against from Netanyahu and an illegal constitutional move removing powers or limiting the powers of the courts. They were in the streets on October 6th. This is a Netanyahu versus Hamas conflict. That's what it is.
Let me try this 30 seconds. Go ahead, Carlo. You have 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hi. Hello?
Go ahead. You have 30 seconds.
Okay. I just want to say I agree. Let me turn down the radio. I agree with that lady 100%. 100%. She's absolutely right. Lady, I have the same God as you, and the Bahamas has no right to agree with making Palestine a state because there's no such place on the map, okay? It goes way back to when the Turks, this colonization of Israel.
It looks like I need to have the show again Monday. We can talk about this Monday again.
Bring a
we need to talk about this Monday.
To validate the history.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Bring back this topic.
Yes. Let me go to the next call. Monday, we'll call again. Go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Okay. I didn't realize how much education we need to help the public on this narrative. I was not aware.
Well, not to say help them, right? But the lack of understanding about the historical context of this modern day conflict.
Yes. So I owe them a duty of care.
Exactly.
To hash this out.
It's a perfect example.
So Monday we'll try do a narrative of Palestine.
And then I had the question: what's worse, reverse racism, classism, or racism? Well, whittle that down to two, because reverse racism doesn't exist.
Yeah. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Let's pray that we be bold and save our country. Have a wonderful day.